Welcome to Reproductivity, the Parenting and Productivity Podcast. Here I am this February recording all on my lonesome. One of the interesting things about parenting with your podcast co-host is that sometimes it's not always possible to record together at the same time. It depends on a bit of luck with naps, and we have kind of a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old, and the 2.5-year-old takes a nap once a day, and the 6-month-old right now is taking a nap about 3 times a day. So it just depends on when all that coincides. This weekend it didn't, so I'm recording alone. I thought the subject of this week would be how to, if you're interested, ways of reading and consuming media while being a parent. And for me, I have a lot of time while I'm nursing, but sometimes I don't have a lot of mental bandwidth or mental energy either, because it's late at night and I'm very tired, or it's during the day and I'm very tired. So I'll talk about a few things that I've tried and what has worked and what hasn't worked for me to do things that give me energy and happiness, which I think is a better way of framing productivity than kind of just trying to like check off my number of books read per year or something like that. But, you know, kind of my default when I'm sitting there, if my baby is nursing for a while, is to cuddle them and that sort of stuff. But sometimes I find that I might not have the patience to go through the whole nursing session and maybe cut them off a little early if I don't have something else to do with my mind. So I enjoy also, you know, trying to read some, and I have my phone right there most of the time. And you know, kind of the go-to potato chips for me is some sort of social media. And I do have a social media presence. You might have even found this podcast through that presence. That I call the potato chips because it doesn't always leave me energized, or it leaves me energized in a really negative way, where if it's in the middle of the night, it kind of just jolts me awake. And if it's during the day, sometimes, you know, I scroll through and I see the latest news from world events and other things, and I like that for part of my day. But if I just sit there and go down rabbit holes, it doesn't give me a lot of energy or a feeling that I'm growing better as a person sometimes. So I try ways because that is kind of the default. It doesn't give me energy, but it also takes the least energy. It's something to occupy my mind, but it doesn't require a lot from my mind. And so it's really easy to go to that as the default. So some things I do are I try to set a limit in screen time for particular applications, mail, Twitter, Instagram. And it makes me kind of actively confirm that I want to go over the limit if I do. And then I try to make other forms of consumption just easier. So have it right on my phone screen, kind of anything but social media, but things that can occupy my brain while I'm, you know, nursing, or, you know, maybe waiting for the toddler to do some introverted play or something like that. And so I have Audible and Overcast. Overcast is a podcast application, and Audible is for audiobooks. I have Masterclass. I have the Kindle app all right on my home screen. And another thing that I've found is that having them on my home screen isn't quite enough, in that I always need to have content in them that I'm excited to go to. So if I'm not in the middle of something already, it's hard to go ahead and open that app versus kind of an easy go-to, like Twitter, for example. So, you know, and this is easier said than done, but when I finish a really good book, I try to find my next good book as quickly as possible. And some things I've found are helpful are, you know, using my local library's digital lending program and getting on the wait list for stuff that just kind of seems either interesting to me or really popular potentially to try out. And then when it comes up, then I can try it out and see if it's for me. A lot of the most popular and engaging books, at least at my library, you get on the wait list for. So it's a reminder to kind of get back into the habit of reading on the Kindle if you haven't been doing it lately. If one of those loans comes up, if you get on the wait list for that. Another thing I've done is I've, you know, set kind of an intention for 2021 to read women authors. So I've done, you know, in high school, I did a lot of classics in quotations, where I did kind of an independent study program in high school and an independent great books program as an exchange student after high school. And just so happens that the classics in quotation marks, you know, if you follow a lot of the lists, it's a lot of men for, you know, historical and sometimes very biased reasons. And then when I got to MIT, where I did my undergrad, everyone around me had read a lot of sci-fi. And so I started a reading program of like classic sci-fi, which again was a lot of men. I later on did a master's in fine arts in science fiction writing. I really got into sci-fi a lot. And as part of that, I had a reading program of women and feminist science fiction authors. So that was a lot of fun. And I found that two things. I don't necessarily read a lot of contemporary work that isn't science fiction. And two, I certainly haven't read a lot of classic work by women in terms of kind of the new classics, I guess, things that lists that weren't put together 100 years ago by men, essentially. So it may incorporate older works, but kind of the curation done by more kind of modern thinking. And so I joined a Goodreads book club called Reading Women, and they have kind of a challenge for 2021. And I think there's like 50 things on the challenge. And some of them are, for example, like, you know, read an autobiography of a woman from Latin America. And some things are even more specific, like read this or that author. And I found inspiration from there and trying to load it up already, have kind of one audiobook going and one print book going at the same time. And generally nowadays, those are different for me. When I did my Master's of Fine Arts, I was also a parent for part of that, and I had to do a lot of reading, basically at least a couple books a month just for that, on top of some personal reading, and just to kind of get through it all in my life seamlessly, I was part of a couple kind of subscription programs that would let me get discounts on or even pay full price to try to get the book in as many formats as possible all at once. So the same book in audio, in Kindle format, and sometimes also in print. And that just meant that I could kind of seamlessly go from one to the other depending on where I was in my mental space in my day. And it might mean I paid three times as much as you would for a typical book, but it also meant that I read kind of three times as much as I might have, because just depending on where I was, I could seamlessly move from one to the other. And if you're in the Amazon ecosystem, the Kindle synchronizes with the audiobooks that you buy in that ecosystem, such that if you're kind of midway through a chapter on your Kindle and then you open the audiobook, you're going to be exactly where you left off, basically to the page, which is really, really helpful. Nowadays, I find that, you know, depending on the book, I just prefer one format or the other. And I'm also not in a rush to finish books because I don't have, you know, kind of a deadline for any of these. This is all kind of for personal interest and kind of edification and development, and to give me more energy than, you know, going down a Twitter or social media rabbit hole. So oftentimes then I'll try to just have one audiobook that I'm really into and one book that I'm really into, kind of at the same time that are different books, and just make sure that I'm always kind of trying to, as soon as I finish one book, figure out what's next. Now that's difficult sometimes because you queue up the next audiobook and you're really not that into it. And then you just stop going back to the application, or you forget to queue up the next audiobook and it just ends up being that you don't, get back into reading whatever that is for a long time. And so, I try to do it, but I don't always succeed. So right now in audio format, I'm listening to Bird Summons, which is a book by a female writer. I don't know, remember her name off the top of my head. But it is essentially about, Muslim immigrants in Scotland, and the audiobook, seems to, as far as I can tell, the woman has a Scottish accent, and it may even have, some flavors of kind of that immigrant to Scotland accent as well. I'm not an expert on Scottish accents, but it seems very fitting as I'm reading through that. And then on my Kindle right now, I'm gradually going through The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab, I think it is. And that was something that actually my toddler accidentally downloaded for me. And so I've been kind of slowly going through that. We're going to kick things off with our first question and answer session. And feel free, I'm going to announce kind of the week's topic on my Twitter, or just bring up your own topic, and basically any tips, tricks, struggles, frustrations, or questions about kind of balancing things that you do with your kids and things that you do without your kids in your life. So feel free to call in. Basically, you go to anchor.fm/reproductivity, and then you click message and then leave a quick voicemail. anchor.fm/reproductivity and leave a quick voicemail. And it's the easiest way to appear on a podcast as a parent because there's no scheduling involved and you can do it kind of whenever it strikes the mood. And I'd love to hear from you.
Hi, Christine. This is JP Michel from Ottawa in Canada. I have a 2-year-old by the name of Nico and a 6-week-old by the name of Raphael. And I love them very much, and they are changing my reading habits for sure. Raphael has, I guess what you could call witching hours in the evening. So after, dealing with her screaming and yelling for an hour or two, when I show up for my reading time at 8 or 9 p.m., I'm pretty drained. So that's where I'm getting stuck, is my level of energy. I can't show up to read the book I'm trying to read. I really like The 100-Year Life, at least the beginning of it. And I would appreciate any tips or advice about changing that mindset for that moment where I pick up the book. Thanks so much.
Hi, JP. Thanks for contacting. And I am glad that you have a reading routine and are trying to incorporate it into your day. I totally understand with the witching hour. My newest baby, our youngest, who's now about 6 months, went through that for a while, and it can definitely be difficult. I will say that one size doesn't fit all, so I'll express a couple thoughts on kind of your reading routine, but feel free to experiment. And that's probably the core of my advice, that as our kids change, and even as our lifestyle changes without kids, sometimes we have a preconceived notion, I think, of where kind of our old routines and trying to cling to them, and maybe being a little more flexible with our kids to create a new routine might be helpful. So that could be maybe changing the type of book that you read at that hour. Maybe the book that you're trying to read right now is just too much for being so tired or so exhausted at that time of night. So maybe there's another genre of book, nonfiction, romance, sci-fi, swashbuckling, you know, bestseller or something like that, where you could still get some of the relaxing and wind down from reading, but maybe not have that mindful engagement. And then maybe the kind of more intellectual book you could leave for maybe a quiet moment on the weekend or when, you know, someone's napping or something like that, and still make progress on that if you're willing to try to tackle more than one book at once. So that's one idea. Another idea is to kind of mix things up and fit in reading if you want to tackle that book just at different times, and then maybe have a different wind down routine at your kind of 8 p.m. after the witching hour sort of thing that could involve maybe, you know, meditation, a little walk, just deep breathing, maybe some TV or, you know, whatever it is that you can do to wind down. But I think you're finding, you know, if you're finding mental resistance to reading that book at that hour, you know, you either have to switch up the book or you have to switch up the hour. And then also ask what you're trying to get out of the activity. You know, are you trying to check off a bunch of books just to check them off? Do you really want to get through that book because you're enjoying it and you just need to find the right time? Or do you want to just simply find something that is relaxing at that hour? And, you know, it could be reading some months and it could be not reading at other months, just depending. So I think those are a few ideas to kind of change the book, change the time, and maybe kind of change the approach. Maybe it isn't even reading that you need at that hour. So good luck with your reading habit, and, you know, revisit it as well as your kids grow and as things change. I know you obviously have two kids, so you know this just as well as I do. Sometimes we keep the same routines and, the routines may not serve us as kind of our lifestyle changes. So I like to have kind of a routine check-in, with my routines. Like, are these routines still working for me at this period of life? And, you know, rather than trying to kind of pat myself on the back for steadfastly holding to a routine or maintaining a streak or, you know, something like that, you know, re-examine and say, maybe it's time to break that streak and change things up so that I can be, you know, even happier and more relaxed, sort of thing. So good luck. And thanks so much for calling in.